Welcome, and thank you for joining us for Heart for Iran's Impact 32 podcast, here to share how our ministry and partners are bringing the Great Commission to Iran and beyond. Coming up, we have Dr. Mike Ansari, president of Heart for Iran Ministries, along with David Curry, president and CEO of Global Christian Relief, where they will be discussing GCR's role in advocating on behalf of those persecuted for their Christian faith throughout the world.
I would like to greet every single one of you who have joined us on another episode of Impact 32 podcast. This is a way for our ministry to come to you and share with you guys about the good things that God is doing in the Middle East, and in particular with the countries of Iran and Afghanistan and the region. We pray that you will have a wonderful 2023 as this podcast is being broadcasted and recorded and broadcasted in January of 2023. We're super excited to be able to start the year off with inviting one of our dear ministry partners and one of our friends. We're excited to have David Curry, president and CEO of Global Christian Relief. Now, David is no stranger to Heart for Iran and these podcasts. You probably have seen his webinar with us back about a year ago on how God was using him and his organization to bring the gospel to the marginalized, to the persecuted, and bring relief. But today, we invited David to join us because something really amazing and exciting is happening in his world and with his ministry. And we wanted to hear from him first. And so please join me in welcoming our brother and our colleague, David Curry. David, welcome to this episode of Impact 32. We're excited to have you with us.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. And you had lots of nice things to say, but your work inspires me because I really truly believe that Iran is going to be one of these and is really an epicenter for what the Lord is doing throughout the world. And so I'm excited about what's happening there. I know there are lots of challenges and tough days ahead, but your ministry has a big impact on what the Lord is doing there. And so much appreciate that.
Thank you so much. So for nearly a decade, people know that David has been involved in ministry for quite some time, but for nearly a decade, he has dedicated his work to raise awareness and support of those who endure extreme restrictions, and in some cases, horrific violence for practicing their faith, for being Christian. This is something that unfortunately is getting worse every day, especially in restricted regions such as Middle East. But I think it's extremely fitting for us to start by asking you if you could tell us a bit about your background, how you became involved in advocating for persecuted Christians.
Well, I was ordained in the ministry many years ago, and really, I think like a lot of pastors and Christians in the West knew nothing about persecution. It was totally off my radar. But in the 90s, I was doing some charitable work in Peru in South America, and there was at that time a terrorist group called the Shining Path. Some people will remember that, and they had a tactic of going into the rural areas of Peru. They were socialist, a communist terrorist, and they would attack churches. They also would attack other places as well. But I was there in Peru when this was happening, and that was the first time I really saw. And in fact, there's some incidents where I was threatened for being a follower of Jesus there in those areas in Peru. That was the first time I really had the awareness of like, hey, wait a minute. It's not just words that when Jesus said, hey, I'm persecuted, you're going to face persecution for my name. This is really happening. Now, of course, as you hinted to, persecution has risen steadily over the last decade and a half. It's now highest it's ever been in the modern era. And there are all kinds of issues at hand, which are driving that forward. There's the rise of extremism. There's the rise of authoritarianism, where governments are starting to understand, and now they have the tools to monitor and to censor and control their population. So there are things like this that are happening that I think are driving it forward. But my introduction really goes all the way back to the 90s when I saw what the Shining Path was doing. My heart, though, the stirring of my heart is that I really have a deep conviction that I want people to have the opportunity to hear about Jesus. I want people to have the opportunity to read a Bible and, as I say it, decide for themselves what they think about it. Now, as simple as that sounds, there's most, you know, many places, maybe even most places on earth, where that's less and less an idea that the leaders or the extremists are willing to accept, because they want to force you into a religion or force you into a subservience, that you're born in one faith and you can never change your mind. And that idea troubles me. So I'm motivated by this idea, like, let's give people a chance to read a Bible and decide what they think.
And that's critical, because the word decide for themselves is extremely important. You see, and I'm sure our listeners can relate to this. There are many times that religion as an institution wants to force individuals into a special mold. And that could happen with any religion. What you are referring to and what Heart for Iran really stands for is what we are talking about. Christ and the love of the Father goes beyond any concept of institution or religion, that we're just inviting people to read the Word of God and then make an informed decision by themselves. And guys, that's very important, because we don't want to force anything down people's throats. Now, interesting enough that you talked about Peru, how your journey started in Peru. As we started this year, we realized that Peru right now is going through some major political upheaval, and the country is in turmoil. So we need to continue praying for Peru. But can you tell us a little bit of your recent ministry efforts and the work that your team is currently doing to reach millions of persecuted believers? And I think it's fitting for you to also touch on the fact that last year, when you came and joined us, you came as the president of Open Doors USA. And now we're talking about global Christian relief. Can you tell us a little bit more about rebranding, what is going on, and then also about the ministry efforts that you guys are doing through Global Christian Relief?
Yeah, thank you for that. We're really excited about what the Lord is doing. This organization that I run started 50 years ago, and it was January 11th was really our anniversary, our 50-year anniversary. And what we wanted to do is to try to ask ourselves, like, what is the next 50 years? What are the challenges we face? And I hinted at it a little earlier, which is we now have a situation in the world that maybe you've never seen before. And I describe it like this: for perhaps the first time in history, the people closest to the problem may know the least about it because of censorship. So it's highly likely that the people in Iran know less about what's happening around them than the people do here, or especially in China, where they have the means and the will to control all of the communication platforms. So the church has a unique problem. It may not know what's happening. It may not be able to connect. So there are a new set of problems. And I think the answer is that we have to be more networked. We have to be more sophisticated. We have to be more thoughtful. We have to lay out this dream that the body of Christ would be and stay connected. I think what you see, whether it's Iran or anywhere else, is that the enemy tries to isolate believers, because in our isolation, we get our own ideas, cultural ideas mixed with theology. It weakens the theology of Scripture. So all of these things and more happen in isolation. So the answer is to reverse engineer and say, how can we connect the body of Christ? How can we make sure that a believer in Iran is never truly alone, that they know what's happening, that they have the ability to talk to each other, that we have the ability to learn from each other? What's happening to believers in Iran, we need to be supporting that to strengthen the church, but we also need to learn the spiritual lessons they're learning. Because as some of your listeners will know, there's this cloud of intolerance everywhere now towards faith. And so we're going to need to learn the lessons of the persecuted church, wherever it may be. So there's a mutual benefit to being connected. We're learning from them. We're helping them. And there's this mutual growth. That's, I think, what the Bible describes as the body of Christ, where one part suffers, we all suffer. And so when one part celebrates, we're going to celebrate with them. And the Lord's doing great things. Everywhere the name of Jesus is lifted up, people are having their lives changed and improved. So that's not our challenge. Our challenge is, how do we deal with all of the pressure and the intolerance, and how do we deal effectively with each other? So the idea behind Global Christian Relief is more networks, more connectivity, trying to deal with the challenges of this next 50 years and beyond. And that's the dream. And that, and so we're recasting this as not one network, but many networks, many partnerships, all about trying to strengthen the persecuted church.
Wow, that's powerful. So I just want to recap what really is resonating to me, and I'm sure it will resonate to our audience as well. When there's persecution, let's say in a country like Iran, the people who are being persecuted have no idea what is happening to other believers in their neighborhood that are being persecuted. And the governments are very methodic in making sure through the security apparatus that they isolate these individuals, and there is no coverage, and therefore there's no advocacy, there's no awareness. And these guys, these governments or these institutions want to go ahead and crush the voices of freedom or voices that want to learn more about their new faith by putting a damper on it. What you guys are trying to do is try to connect the dots and bring their voice to a more global platform to say, look, this is what's going on. David, this is really resonating to us and to me. About a week and a half ago, we got a call from inside Iran. One of the small churches in one of the cities in Iran was raided, and they had no place to go. And they contacted us, and they told us that their house was raided. And at the time where Iran is trying to crush the Mahsa Amini movement and the latest uprising against the hijab and women, they still are tightening the noose around the neck of Iranian believers to the people who have left Islam to Christianity. So you are touching on a powerful strategy that needs to be supported. And I really pray that our audience can hear the importance of what you guys are launching. Folks, in the position of someone like David, every day provides its own opportunities, yet a lot of challenges. So David, it's not easy to run an organization, especially an organization that has such a global vision. And you guys want to do so much, and half the time it's two steps backwards, one step forward. There's a spiritual warfare. There is always opposition to what God is trying to do in your leadership role. What has motivated you, or what motivates you to continue your work on a day-to-day basis?
Well, one of the things that motivates me is, and I think this may surprise some people, that in my experience, the persecuted church is a joyful church. And I think that's in large part because when you are down to nothing but Jesus, you find out he's enough. This is a powerful idea. I don't want to lose everything. I don't. I just tell you, I don't. I want to have all the comforts. I want to be free. I want all of that. But I watch believers every day. I get stories and interact with persecuted believers, whether they're from Asia or the Middle East, where Africa. And I see they have lost everything, and Jesus is so precious to them, and they still have that joy. And that. So that's a motivator. But I have to be honest, there's the other side of it, which is the injustice motivates me, that when I see people persecuted, hurt, injured, killed for their faith in Jesus, I want to be a voice for those people. I have that motor in me is strong. So that keeps me going. I also think that I get excited about the idea of the church looking more and more like the biblical ideal, that I think we should, what you're doing here is you're platforming another ministry. That's a Jesus thing. And that's what I want to do, which is to promote what you all are doing, promote what other people are doing. We've gotten into this, I think ministry in general in the West, we kind of get segmented where we're like, well, we're over here and this denomination's over there, and we just kind of work in our own little pockets. I don't think that's not the biblical idea. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus is our centralizing idea. And if you're a part of what Jesus is doing, I'm with you. And I want to example that, because that was transformational in my life when I discovered, like, hey, wait a minute, this is about Jesus. It's not about religion. It's not about my group or your group or some one denomination or another denomination. So I think we need more and more ministries like that. And because there's a lot of pressure. One of the things you see in the persecuted churches, when they start hanging and shooting believers, they never ask you if you're Baptist or evangelical. They just say, do you believe in Jesus? So it breaks down. Extreme persecution can break down divisions. We need that. We need that. And one of the discussions about our new venture, Global Christian Relief, is that people are sort of, you know, tend to think in segments. Well, if you're this, are you not that? Don't think like that. Think in terms of what is the Lord doing and how can we support it in any way possible? I've said over and over again, and I want to plant this dream in people, that God wants, I think, 1,000 ministries helping the persecuted church. There are 360 million Christians who live in severe persecution. How many are we going to help? We're all of us are just getting a fraction of it, because the body of Christ is insular. We're looking, in the West anyway, we're looking at our own problems, and we got to raise our horizon, look and see what the Lord's doing and be part of that.
Amen. Amen. I want to, again, welcome those listeners that are just joining us. We are here with our brother David Curry with Impact 32 Podcast. On the front lines, we are talking about what God is doing with Global Christian Relief. And if you are listening to this, you call Jesus as your savior, you're either leading a church or an organization or just a member of the body of Christ. The message that we just heard from David, and I want to encourage you to listen to the full podcast, is that God is moving among the persecuted. There are people who are paying the price for their faith, and it is a responsibility of every believer, every person who calls themselves a Christian, to stand next to the ones who are being persecuted. And so therefore, today we are celebrating what God is doing with Global Christian Relief. And we want to stand next to them, and because they are they are walking in the gap and creating a bridge for us to be able to have a better ministry. And this morning, David, I was in a meeting with another ministry partner, and this is something really profound that kind of resonates with what you're saying. When you're dealing in the world of Christian persecution, we automatically, as human beings, we may deduct and say, well, the opposite of fear is courage. And so I'm going to be more courageous, and I'm going to speak encouragement to other believers around the world. But he was very fast to edify us and say, no, that's not courage. The opposite to fear is faith. And you mentioned the word faith several times in just the brief few minutes that we had with you. And folks, it's very simple. If you have faith, Hebrews 11:1 talks about having faith. If you have faith in God's goodness, then we know that God has a plan for everyone, including those people who have yet to know about Christ, or who will know about Christ and then get into trouble with either their family or their government or their society. These people are called persecuted Christians. And guess what? If you take a look at outside of our comfort zone, there are probably, if not hundreds of thousands, millions of Christians that are in danger of persecution. What are you doing? What is your church doing to stand next to these people and encourage them? What are we doing? How are we acting on faith? And today we just wanted to introduce again to you what David is doing through Global Christian Relief. If people wanted to get in touch with you and find out more about your organization, how can they do that, David?
They can go to gcrelief.org or just type in Global Christian Relief. And you could see some of what we're doing. We want to be present, stand with persecuted believers in all the countries where they're persecuted for their faith. And we're honored to do so.
What are your biggest areas of need right now? If people wanted to stand next to you and bless you, how can they do that? What are your biggest areas of need?
Well, right now we're looking at, let me give you one example. We released some videos last week showing some attacks on churches. I think we had 25 churches burned to the ground in India. Which is a large democracy. People don't think of it in terms of like persecuted Christians, but there's 65 million Christians, and there are these massive attacks. We were able to get some footage of the attacks that show the police standing by while these mobs attack the churches, beat individuals into a coma-like position. So we're now we have they burned a bunch of the homes of these Christians. There's over 2,000 of them that are on the run. So we're helping them. We're giving them food, water, sustaining them while we try to motivate the political policymakers there to stand up for the church. This is just one insight where people can support that. They can say, well, I'm going to help these families that are running for their lives because they're followers of Jesus. But you look across, that's one example of what is happening to the persecuted church everywhere. And when you see the videos that's available on our website or social media, you can see the raw nature of it. And you get a picture of what it's like. And it humanizes it. It's not something we need to run from. We need to embrace the fact that these are our brothers, and this is our family. And let's help them.
Guys, as we are talking about Iran, what is happening among the Christians is global. And that's really important. We want to encourage you guys to look beyond just Iran and Afghanistan. Look at the entire world. Because you cannot just have a myopic view to what God is doing in the world. The Great Commission includes the entire world, entire globe. And when the churches in India are suffering, it's part of the body of Christ that is hurting. So as Hearts for Iran, we feel the pain of what is happening to the church in India and other regions. David, what are some ways? I want to go back now, talk about the persecuted Iranians.
Yeah.
You heard in the news early in September of last year where Mahsa Amini, the young lady who was killed by the morality police in Iran, there was a huge uprising. There was a story that came out, a young lady, a young Iranian teenager named Serena, who was beaten to death, and they found her body. Quickly, she became one of the symbols of the uprising among the teenage girls in Iran. Her younger sister, released a video of Serena singing along with the song, Take Me to Church. Mm-hmm. When that was released, it went viral, and we ended up getting calls from inside Iran from teenage Iranian Muslims or people, Iranian girls that are from an Islamic background, saying, we saw Serena singing the song, Take Me to Church. Can you tell us more about her God, wow, Jesus, and what church is all about? And all of a sudden, an ugly episode, a dark episode of the murder of a young innocent girl brought attention to the gospel. God works in mysterious ways. Iran is hurting. Iranian people are hopeless. Iranian people are watching our programs across Iran on Mohabbat TV, our channel, and also on social media, asking the bigger question, what is there really hope for us? And many of them are having dreams or visions about Jesus, and lives are being transformed in the midst of darkness. I want to ask you for your vision. What would be some ways that Global Christian Relief and Hearts for Iran and the listeners that are listening to this, we can all come together to help the persecuted Iranian people to further the Great Commission? What are your dreams?
Well, the cross-reference with what you're doing is important. First of all, more Bibles. People need Scripture. When they don't have access to Scripture, then all the cultural ideas that seep up within any culture, whether it's Western culture or Iranian culture, it pollutes the biblical ideal. So we have to have Scripture. It's a root. It's the root. It's the truth. It's the breathed word of God. And churches, plant churches. You all are doing that so beautifully. This isn't this isn't prophetic, but I do believe it's the heart of God that he has anointed the Iranian people. When I say, I think God is going to have these little epicenters. It's almost like little spiritual earthquakes that have ripple effects. And I think you'll see it in a number of countries. But I think God has anointed the Iranian, you could see throughout history, the Persian-Iranian people to be part of the solution of how Jesus' name is lifted up. So a strong Iranian church that's based on scripture and has, why is church important? I forgot to mention that, because it's community. We're called to be a community worshiping under Jesus. When people are in community, it's a stronger connection than when you're off on your own and your own idea. It's a very Western sort of idea. While we have a personal relationship, we're called to be in community with each other, to strengthen and to worship and all of these sort of things. So I think starting churches, planting, I think that's how we're going to continue to strengthen the persecuted church in Iran and Afghanistan. The Afghan church is on the run. That, you know, they statistically fewer believers were killed last year in Afghanistan, but that's largely because a lot of them escaped or are underground and on the run. So it's not improved. So that church has a particular challenge, which is how do you connect a church which is greatly in danger? And as soon as you kind of come above ground, they want to chop off your head literally and figuratively. So our goal, our dream is we're going to find safe ways to connect and make that network work for the glory of God, not for our own benefit, but so that we can have these strengthening values of Bibles available, community available in a safe structure. And sometimes that's technology that allows that. Other times it's kind of going back to the things that you know are more analog, but useful. So, and I won't go into too much detail about how that's done, but that's the dream, connecting the church and strengthening the church wherever it is.
Amen. And that is the essence of the Great Commission.
That's right.
Go to the world and tell other people about Jesus and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I just want, as we come to the end of this podcast, I want to thank you, David, for joining us with Impact 32. Folks, Impact 32 podcasts are available on various platforms, including Spotify, Apple platforms, and our websites and other places. We encourage you to share this episode of what God is doing through Global Christian Relief with your churches, with your leadership, with organizations, with foundations. We are called to stand next to each other and lift each other up. And I want to encourage you to please visit globalchristianrelief.org. That is the organization for which David Curry, our brother and our colleague, is the CEO and president of. God has amazing plans for you and for your organization, and we bless you. And folks, I encourage you to continue listening to the future programs. This year, we are going to be talking to various guests and talking about what God is doing across Middle East. We hope that this will be a good, solid reference for your church and for your leadership if you want to partner with us and stand next to us in glorifying God and helping the church in the area. Thank you again for joining us, David. We bless you. And we hope that very soon we could have you back. And you could tell us more about the amazing things that God is doing through your organization. Well, do you have any last words for our audience?
Well, just I want to let you know how much I believe in what you're doing, and consider me a partner and a friend. And thank you for having me on.
God bless you. Folks, have a wonderful time. Make sure you pass this episode to your friends and family, and stay tuned for the future episodes. Thank you again, David. We bid you farewell.